الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين وهو ولي الصالحين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين وعلى آله ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون صدق الله عليه قال نبينا وحبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام All praise and glory be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Creator, Nourisher, Sustainer, Provider, Protector, Controller of every single thing exists Peace and salutation be upon our beloved Master, Final Messenger who has been sent as a mercy to the entire universe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his family members, companions, upon every single Muslim brothers and sisters who followed and who is following and who will follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. My respected brothers, elders, honorable ulama karam, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey his commandments and follow his commandments in every injunction in your life and follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. And live a life of taqwa where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this country, we are approximately 1.8 million Muslims living in this country. 1.8 million, approximately 8% of the population of this country. And my respected brothers and Muslims are scattered all over, all the districts, all the provinces, and different areas, and different faculties, and different departments, Muslims are involved in this country. And especially, according to research recently done by a non-Muslim, the percentage of involvement of Muslims in business. Generally, there is a perception by non-Muslims, all the Muslims are businessmen and they are very rich. And they have a jealousy whenever they see, because a small group of people in Muslims who live a very luxurious life, and that gives a very big impression. A very big impression is like a balloon. It's small, it's blown, and shows a huge balloon. It looks like a huge thing. Approximately, according to that statistic, only 30% of Muslims who are involved in business and who is doing well. Out of 1.8 million Muslims, only 30% of them are involved in business and who is economically stable. And the rest 70%, amongst them you get farmers, amongst them you get labor, amongst them you get many, and unfortunately, and it's very sad to say that, approximately more than 25% of Muslim population is going out of country for the employment, Middle East and all the other countries. Because of this, why am I mentioning these things? We as Muslims, we need to have concern about our fellow brothers. We need to have concern not only about Muslims, about the entire humanity. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Holy Quran, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ We have been sent, Allah has sent us in order, لِلنَّاسِ for entire humanity. Not only for the Muslims, not only for the Muslims of Sri Lanka, not only for the Muslims of Saudi Arabia, not only for the Muslims in the world, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ for entire humanity. So we have a responsibility of guiding, we have a responsibility of helping, we have a responsibility of counseling, we have a responsibility of being in part and parcel of every human aspect. In every human, whatever activity human is involved in halal activities, we have a part to play in that. The reason why I mentioned this is that many of us don't know, and many of us even think that we are doing well, we are okay. They are doing well and we are okay. And we need to think and we need to have a vision forward, how we are going forward in our life. Ukhrijat linnas, we have been sent to the entire humanity. Ibrahim alayhi salam, I can tell you the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is very appropriate to mention the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam at this time. You can look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam in many angles. Aspect of family life, as a father and a mother, being a good parent, being a good leader, being good leader who has concern about ummah, who had concern about the humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam as he's a ummah, a nation. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a single man, a single man, but Allah refers him as a ummah, a nation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the responsibility of giving azan for the entire humanity till the day of qiyamah. Azim fin nasi bil hajj ya'tuka rijala. Ya'tuka rijala. Long vision. The vision is very long. Ibrahim alayhi salam lived how many thousand years before? How many years before? But he gave azan even for the person who is going to come last, who is going to be born last in this world. He invited them towards the Hajj. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, we always as Muslim in this country, Muslim in the world, as a Muslim person in this world, our vision has to be that I must live in this world, that through that Islam must become life. As a family, my family must live in this world, through that Islam must become life and prosper in this world. As a ummah, we must be a community, we must live any part of the world, it has to have an impact. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, meantime, we need to understand the battle between kufr, battle between haqq and batil, battle between kufr and Islam, it will continue till the day of qiyamah. It will continue till the day of qiyamah. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, there was battle between kufr and shirk. There was battle between kufr and, you know, the Islam and batil and haqq. This will continue till the day of qiyamah. But what is our responsibility? What is the role we can play as Muslim, as an individual, as a businessman, as an employee, as an employer, as just a laborer? What can I do? How can I play a role in this world in order to establish Islam, in order to spread Islam, in order to invite others towards Islam? My respected brothers and elders in Islam, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, we have to be very thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us the iman. The gift of iman and gift of Islam is that nothing in this world can come to that place. Nothing can replace the iman. Nothing can replace the iman. I'll just tell you a brief story about a Kuwaiti doctor. Maybe many of you would have read in internet, many of you would have heard about him. He was a rich and well-learned Kuwaiti doctor. He had everything luxury of this world. Once suddenly, he reads the article. He goes through this quite long ago. I'm speaking, this happened 1970s and 1980s. But he's still alive. He read the article. A country in Africa, Madagascar and that area, part of surrounding area, it was a Muslim country 100%. Now it has turned to be 90% Christian country. When he read that, he has everything in this world. He was a rich man. He could have lived a luxurious life. He could not bear up. He could not bear it. So much of love towards Islam. He left everything. He left all his luxurious life. He took his wife and he went and settled himself with the courage. I want to bring that country back to Islam. I want to bring that country back into Islam. And people didn't recognize him. People never knew him until recent few past 5-6 years. Because now at the moment that country has reached 60 to 70% Muslims. After 20 or 25 years of effort, he left everything. He went to that country and what he did, as a doctor, he used to visit every house and help them. Help not financially, speak to them if they are not well, if they are ill, give them medication, work hard and hard. Due to the less infrastructure, due to the less facility, that doctor possessed more than 17 illness in his own self. More than 17 illness. What happened? And it was asked by him after he did this, after this achievement, was asked by him, what made you live all your luxurious life and come here and make such a great effort and sacrifice for sake of Islam? You know, he said, which wealth or what can give me more happy than a person coming and giving his hand to me and saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He asked, Ayyu sa'adati akbar bi sa'adati an yashhada rajul bi yadi. He said, what is the enjoyment, what is the happiness can replace this happiness? A man comes and gives his hand to me and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness there is only one Allah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is messenger of Allah. Is there anything in this world can replace that enjoyment, replace that happiness? You tell me that. This is the love, this is the iman, what he has in bottom of our heart. Bottom of our heart. We are listening every day. We're listening in 2011 itself, a year didn't end. There are approximately 30 to 40 paper articles in our country where our Muslim brothers and sisters publicly have said, my name was Muhammad Ishan, now I have changed that name into Budiyan Salage Desh. Over 30 paper articles, not in English, in Singhalese paper. There's so much of people, while in one side people are embracing Islam, in another side our own brothers and sisters are going out of Islam. Did it make us happy? Or did it make us unhappy? Or do we have any feeling towards it? Do you have any feeling towards it? Why this is happening? As a community, what are we doing? What is happening? Are we long-winded? Or are we just doing it as just for sake of being? We came for Jummah because it is compulsory, I have to do it, come and go. What do I get out of khutbah? Nothing. I go out, I'm same person. Inside I'm Muslim, I go out, I'm same person. In the office, I'm the biggest devil. In the business market, I'm the biggest devil. But when he comes to the masjid, he prays 100%. He is the most pious person. He prays everything. We have divided the Islam. We have divided the Islam. We said ibadat is one side, okay, this is my Islam. I pray my salah, I perform hajj, I give my zakah. I don't know how accurate that our 30% Muslims who are, I think the 30% of them is able to pay zakah. They should pay zakah because they are businessmen. For urul tijara, for the products, business products, we have to pay zakah. The 30% of the Muslim population from their wealth have to pay zakah. I think if we pay zakah correctly, amongst Muslims we can elevate the poverty. If we pray properly. Calculation, we don't know how to calculate. We are doing business for 20 years, still we don't know how to calculate the zakah, and we don't want to improve that. We don't want to learn that. We don't want to have any side of insight about the zakah. About, you know, Islamically investing, Islamically doing business. How can I, you know, convert my business into a deen, into an aspect where Allah will be pleased with me? It is an act of ibadah. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, what I said is that we need to understand all the aspects of our life have to come in the Islam. What is Islam? What is Islam? Praying five times salah is Islam? Is not complete Islam, is part of Islam. Performing hajj is Islam? Is not only Islam. It is what? It is part of Islam. Giving zakah is Islam? Yes, it is Islam, but not complete Islam. It is part of Islam. The ibadat is part of Islam. Our act of worship is part of Islam, but not the complete Islam. You know what is Islam? Islam is submission. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam briefly explained, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. This is sufficient for us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you will become believers, nobody will become believers until I become for him more beloved than حَتَّى أَكُنَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ, more beloved to him than his parents, مِنْ وَلَدِهِ, than his children and all his wealth and entire humanity. Just ask yourself, just look at yourself and ask, who is more beloved to you? who is more beloved to you? So many sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been violated in front of us, by us, in our own houses. So many commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been violated by us, in our own house, in our own community, our own environment where we're living. Is there any feeling it makes? Do you feel any? The lowest category of iman, the lower category of iman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you need to dislike that disobedience in your heart. When you see anything bad, munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi, fa in lam yastati' fa bi lisani, fa in lam yastati' fa bi qalbi. If you are unable to do, prevent that from your hand, prevent that by saying something, you have to prevent that by your heart. What does it mean to dislike that, to avoid that, to avoid that basis? But unfortunately, we plan to disobey Allah. We plan to disobey Allah. For example, let us just take the aspect of family life and marriage. Family life and marriage. When it comes to marriage, how many of us disobey Allah? How many of us, you know, violate the sunnah of beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many of us goes against the sunnah when you take the marriage? How much of israf, and how many of us become the friends of shaitan? إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The people who waste and do extravagant, they are brothers of shaitan. How many of us follow the footsteps of shaitan? He say, what you know, what you do, we have a nikah here. It has become a trend and fashion to have a nikah, getting an alim who can, you know, deliver a good superb sermon. That sermon is for whom? For all the invitees. Not for the couple who is getting married, neither for the father-in-law, neither for the bride, you know, and neither for the bridegroom's father. None of them. It is for the all the audience who have witness, who is coming to witness the nikah. The sermon is for them. And the bride here, at that day will he come and introduce himself. Oh, Hazrat, I am the one. The bridegroom says, I am the one who is going to get married. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, our many youngsters, they know how to make money, they know how to drive cars, they know, you know, to do so many things, how to keep themselves beautiful. They don't know how to run a family. They don't know how to be a good husband. They don't know how to be a good man. But he is coming and saying, Kavilthu Nikangawa, I just came to say what? I accepting and I just came. I don't know the gravity of this. I don't know what is this nikah means. It's just my desire. And just because everybody is getting married, I want to get married. And no one is getting married. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, a young man, if he gets married with the intention, if he gets married with the intention in order to protect his chastity, he is under the protection of Allah. Can be a young man or a young girl, whoever gets married with the intention to protect himself, and protect his chastity, iffat, then he is under the protection of Allah. How many youngsters get married for that sake? How many youngsters get married for that sake? Just for sake of getting married. My dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, a family life, Islam has to start from there. Islam has to start from there. And disobedience, you know how it starts? Unfortunately, it's very sad. Where disobedience starts, nikah takes place here, everything over, then goes there in all the hotels, here and there the disobedience starts. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying don't have nikah in 5-star hotels. What I'm saying is that, if you are doing whatever it is, prepare the answer for every penny, every cent you are spending by Allah. You have your nikah in 5-star, you have an answer for Allah to say that, yes, O Allah, I spended this in order to honor my guests. And O Allah, you have given me wealth, I want to show that ni'mah. Allah says in Holy Quran, فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Oh Allah, you have bestowed me the ni'mah. I want to honor my guests. I want to give them a very good, you know, hosting. And this is not to show off. Every penny I was spent for this sake. And this hall, I took it because I cannot accommodate such a large number of people in a small area. Because of this reason, you have justification for all this. No problem, spend millions. And meantime, whatever amount you are spending, at least 2.5% of that you give in sadaqah, charity. If you are spending 10 million, if you are spending 1 million, among thanks you justify it by giving charity, by giving sadaqah, by spending that in a community activity. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, there are so many aspects in our life. What I am trying to say, there is imams in the masjid. We have kept them as, you know what, just to come and lead the salah and then they go and see. You know who is the imam? You know who is the alim? The alim is representing a prophet in your society. The alim is representing a prophet in your society. The alim is supposed to get involved in all the aspects of your life. In your business life, he has to advise you. In the family life, he has to advise you. In your personal life, he has to advise you. In all the matter, he has advised. Now what happened? We have kept the alim as a ceremonial thing. You don't want to listen to his advice. You call him and you tell him, Hazrat, you speak this, huh? Our whole theme about our function is this. You speak about this for 10 minutes, not more than 10. This is what we are giving the guidance, but in order to just camouflage and say that we have bought alim, we got his blessing, and it has become a trend in all the company. Now they have Islamic day. I'm saying because many people who work in companies and youngsters and all, they come and, Hazrat, we want one lecture from you in our company. You know, so much of disobedience, so much of un-Islamic things happening. You know, we want to introduce Islam. It's a good intention, it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's bad. You know, unfortunately, once a tobacco company, some of our Muslims also work there, unfortunately, could destroy humanity. The company, but the government doesn't want to do anything about it because it contributes a large number in Shia market. The percentage of Shia market the tobacco company has, people who is in business and economics will know about it. Tobacco company is inviting me, calling me, Hazrat, we are having Islamic day, I want you to call, I want you to come and give a lecture. I want to come and give you a lecture. I said, why? You want your blessing? I know. They said, we want your blessing, Hazrat. For what? To kill people? You want my blessing to kill people? You want the blessing to destroy the youngsters? What is this? Where are we heading to? What I'm saying is, we have imams and ulamas. We take a marriage. I take a marriage. Kitabun Nikah. Many of us are married. Many of us are married here. Kitabun Nikah. Who have learned the chapter of entire Nikah from the beginning of Ijab and Kabul, intention of Nikah, Nafaqa, how you should spend on your wife, how you should spend on your children when there is a firaq and dispute comes up, how you must handle that situation, how you must behave at this situation. How many of you, we are living in this Colombo and we are living in the country where 7,000 ulamas are available. No one can say there is no ulamas to guide us. None of us can say there is no ulama to guide us. How many of you took a time out before marriage, at least 1 month, went and sat under an alim and shaykh and learned about Kitabun Nikah? Just ask yourself, how many fathers took their daughters to an alima or to an alim and tell her, teach her, how can she become a good wife? And how can she nature iman on her children? How can she be a good mother? These are the things. But when the child has become immediately grade 5 years old, we are planning whole family get together, brothers and sisters, which school we are going to put it? 25% in Asian and gateway school. You know the gateway and Asian. You know the culture of it. You know how the girls dress. 25% in gateway and Asian school, 25% are Muslims. Our Muslims are going there, spending by thousands and millions, and sending the children towards disobedience. And another side, we have some businessmen, business oriented, every way, international school, this international school, that international school. Why? They want to make money. Making money and destroying our youngsters' lives. In one hand, our community is not responsible of giving quality education for our young generation. In another hand, our community responsibility of sending our children into an environment of doesn't have modesty, no haya. No haya. I'm telling this problem because it's widely affected, and I know many parents who in this masjid who are affected, who has called me and informed. The young boys, a trend, you know what they have? Through internet, through Facebook, they get involved with widows. Na'udzubillah. They get involved with widows. Parents are not responsible. Parents are not looking at that.
What is happening? What is happening for our young generation? We cannot blame them. Our youngsters are very good. They get into trap, they get caught in that, and now they are struggling, they cannot come out of it. So they are crying, "Oh Hazrat, please help us, we want to come out of this bad habit." Who is responsible for this? Our Muslim community, parents, elders, ulamas, everyone is responsible. Everybody is responsible. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, you might think Hazrat is celebrating all the areas, but this is what is happening in our country. This is what is happening. We are losing our younger generation. We are losing them. The modesty in them is gone. Did anyone, the business community, I said 30%, did anyone raise a voice against a media which is promoting immodesty, against a media which is promoting so much of evil things? We all love that media. By name, I don't want to mention. It operates in all three languages. Gets all the village women to come and stand in naked, and parents, children, grandfathers all get together and enjoy that screen, enjoy the scene. And in fact, if they miss, they ask, "What happened? Who won in that? What happened? Who won?" They are training our young girls. It's not even some things you, it's not our Muslim girls and non-Muslim. I said, we have been sent for humanity. We have been sent for humanity. We are making effort inside the masjid. What is happening, my respected? A modesty is gone. A modesty is gone. A family life has been displayed in the screen. And so much of teledrama, which is encouraging the youngsters not to have a good family life, a structure. Na'udhubillah. 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 May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. Unfortunately, what we don't like to happen in our family, we are love and we love to see that in the screen. We love that to see in the screen. One man's wife, they're acting and they are scrutinizing your mind and saying that it's nothing wrong, this is all about life. A wife walks out and says, "Oh, sorry, very sorry, I had enough with you. Now I am interested with another man." And everyone is saying, "Oh, what happened now?" She left him and she went with someone else. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, where are we heading? So much of khutbah, so much of programs, so much of masjid, over 2,500 masjid, so much of Arabic colleges, so many ulamas. Where are we heading to? Why can't we produce a righteous society? A righteous society. What is happening to our youngsters? My respected brother, immodesty is prevailing everywhere. We, our ministers, who cannot speak about, raise their voice. Okay, one thing which is happens or doesn't happen, at least must raise the voice against the kufr, against the zulm, against disobedience, against immodesty. It is affecting all the communities. In the name of improving industry of, you know, tourism, they're improving prostitution in the country. The name of improving that industry of tourism, improving prostitution in our country. But not a single who has the backbone, who has taken the voice of the people and come there and not speaking on behalf of the people. And we ulamas, we are speaking in the mimbar, it doesn't even carry the law, it doesn't even carry a law. تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم. Come towards a thing which is a common platform. We can fight against it. Immodesty, immorality, the act of behaving like animal in the society. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, another very sad situation which is happening, where our young girls, in this last past 2 years, many young girls have gone out with non-Muslim boys. After this happens, parents are pushing them aside, keeping them away from the family, they are discouraging them. My respected brother, one father called me and said, "My daughter, you know, she ran away, now she has come back, I want to do the nikah. Hazrat, do I need to give hajj for my daughter? Hajj, you know, lashes for my daughter." I said, "Not for your daughter, I must give lashes for you first. The hajj must be given to the father first. What did you do? What did you do until your daughter ran away from your house? How did you bring her up? How did you bring her up? How did she get that courage? How did she get that courage and gush to leave her house and go? How did she get that courage? How did you bring her up? And didn't you look at her need? A father and mother must observe when she has a need. You can feel, you can give her clothing, you can give her the food, you can give everything what she needs, but you cannot give that need that she needs of a man. She needs a secret partner. Can you do that? Can you help that? You must realize when the age comes, so much of food. Jamiatul Ulama, our halal Jamiatul Ulama is here, also known Jamiatul Ulama, certifies all the chicken which is slaughtered halal. But I have another side to speak. It is halal. It is halal. But it is affecting hormones of our young children. It is approved. It is approved on a study. Because they give certain food for those chicken, which gives it increase the hormones, and that chicken grows in a very quick period. But our young girls are eating every day those things. When she is 13, she has developed the hormones of an 18-year-old girl. Now father and mother is thinking, she's still 13, she can learn, she can go to school. But she has the hormones of an 18-year-old girl. She has the hormones of 20 or 21 years old boy. This is the fact and this is what is happening. And when this young girl is going out, the emotion and the hormones play, she forgets everything. She forgets her parents. She forgets what she has learned. She forgets Islam. After she has committed the sin, now everything opens up. Everything opens up. Now she's crying. Now what do I do? I can't go home. What do I do? I can't go home. What do I do? I have done this. Now the parents don't want to accept her. My respected brothers, whose fault is this? Our children are just grown at home. We are not bringing them up. We are not bringing them up, my respected brothers. It is an area that has to be focused. See where our children are going. This information technology, media, it is need. It's a need of a time. We need those things, but it is not our life. It is not our life. It is what is just a need. You use for the need and then take it away. Now the mobile phone, all the young girls, they have mobile phone. They don't need an internet connection in order to browse in the net. We cannot prevent them, but we need to give them an iman. They are going every morning to the school. They go every morning to the, classes. All this area, they become exposed to disobedience, exposed to all immorality. Do they spend 1 hour under the imam and learn qala Allah, qala Rasul? Do they learn? Do they know? How many youngsters of us know? Sayyidul Istighfar. How many youngsters of know Sayyidul Istighfar? How many adults of know Sayyidul Istighfar? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man who reads Sayyidul Istighfar in the morning, Allah forgives all his sins and protect him from disobedience. And if he dies at that period before Iman, he enters Jannah. And if he reads that in the evening, same thing is happened. Allah protects him till next morning. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta, khalaqtani, wa ana abduka, wa ana ala ahdika, wa wa'dika mastata'at, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya, wa abu'u bi dhanbi, faghfir li, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. We are keeping and presenting ourselves to Allah. O Allah, you are our Lord, anta rabbi. لا إله إلا أنت None worthy of worship except you أنت خلقتني والله you created me وأنا عبدك I am your slave يا الله وأنا على عهدك I am in a contract with you يا الله ووعدك ما استطعت According to my ability I have given a promise to you الله أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت والله I seek protection from what I have done from my own action from my own actions. How many of us do read? How many parents of us do taught this dua for our children? How many of us, when they go out, do we read this dua? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves us and he has given us all the methods to protect ourselves, to protect our youngsters, when you leave the house. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udalla aw adilla aw zalla aw adlima aw udlama aw ajhala aw yujhal alay. However you read, we ask protection from Allah. All the evil a disobedient takes from us, and through us another person gets misled. How many of us do that? How many of us do that? I just forgot a point about all Ceylon Jamiat Ulama gives halal for chicken. It doesn't give you, it doesn't say that you must eat that. Understand? It gives you, you can eat that. Understand? Don't misunderstand. When I tell some people this, please balance this. Don't give your young children, because these have this problem. All Ceylon Jamiat Ulama has given halal, Hazrat, so I can eat. That they don't say you must eat. They say you can eat. Islamically, the slaughtering is halal. That's it. But what I spoke about the medically, what it contains and what effects it makes in the body. So don't misunderstand, brothers. Don't misunderstand. So my respected brothers, what I'm saying, if you read this dua, if a young man reads this dua and go out of his house, Allah protects him from disobedience. I can guarantee and say, Allah protects him from disobedience. If a person is not under the protection, no one can protect him from disobedience except Allah. Leave aside that. Every day we perform 5 times salah. After salah, there are du'as. Jamiat Ulama highlighted it, all those du'as. Do you read those du'as? All those things are protection for our life. Do we read those du'a? Do we read Ayatul Kurus? Do we read Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wa na'udhu bika min al-'ajzi wal-kasal wa na'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl wa na'udhu bika min ghalabati ad-dayni wa kathri ar-rijal wa na'udhu bika min an nurda ila arzali al-umur wa na'udhu bika min fitnati ad-dunya wa na'udhu bika min 'adhab al-qabr. How many of us sit and read and concentrate? How many of us read surah kul surah after salah? We are so much hurry, we are so much involved in the worldly matters, we forget protecting ourselves. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning ayah what I read, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, la tulhikum amwalukum wala awlaadukum an zikrillah. O believers, la tulhikum amwalukum wala awlaadukum. Your wealth and your children, that means your wealth and your family, should not indulge us, keep you away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all the dhikr of Allah. This is all the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, what I am saying, for the trustees of the mosque, the elders in the mosque, create, masjid must become a center. Masjid must become a center, community center for ibadah, for our acts of worship, for education. It has to become for all the reason. This masjid, alhamdulillah, this masjid in approximately many mashuras takes place here. But what I want is that all this type of structure must happen, must have a class through Imam Masjid for all the young ones who's gonna get married. Young boys, Kitabun Nikah must take place here. Imam Masjid them, what is good and what is bad. It is his continuous reminder. And I said, our children are exposed for all this disobedience every day. How many hours are they listening for things which is Allah's word and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? 1 hour. I say, from the age of 4 until 25, every young man must spend 1 hour at least in the masjid under the imam, learning Quran, learning the hadith, and listening about the qiyamah and qabr. Definitely that will increase his iman. That will fight against all that is disobedient what he has seen. Like, you know what happened? He goes there, the charge says, is disobedient iman, as he come here, he charges iman, he protects himself. But when we say this, it's not compulsory. It's not compulsory. This is our method, how we have to protect ourselves. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, we cannot say we don't know. We cannot say we don't know how to do it. We have to change ourselves and go towards a righteous society. Again, appealing for the business community. The business community, we all knew in Galazari, a sheikh came and gave how you can convert your business to be a Islamic, be a deen. We all listened. Many of us were impressed by it. And end of the day when we walk out, in our culture it's very difficult to, you know, practice this. Industry is such, competition, industry is such, if I'm going to go straight, all the others go crooked, so I fall off. So I can't survive in that industry. My respected brothers, where is our iman? When we give salam, after saying Allahumma antas salam, after istighfar, Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam tabaraka ya dhal jalali wal ikram, after to say Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana't وَلَا رَادَّ لِمَا قَضَيْتْ وَلَا يَنْفَعْ ذَجَّدْ مِنْكَ الْجَدْ. Just reflect on that meaning. Just reflect on that meaning. That is our iman. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt. No one can prevent and no one can, you know, no one can, you know, deprive you from what Allah has given to you. We say Allahumma la mani'a. No one can deprive. No one can prevent. لِمَا أَعْتَيْتْ. What you have given me. وَلَا مُعْتِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتْ. And no one can give me what you have deprived that. What you have prevented. That is not written for me. No power in this world. No power in this world can give me that. Just reflect on that meaning. That is the iman. That is what the iman. We do effort in a righteous way. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, all of us are, we know trick. We say business is trick. Business is, you know, all about tricking. Business is all about, you know, cheating. My respected brothers, I think this is the one reason why so much of holy institution available in our country, because our wealth is not pure. That doesn't have an impact on us. That doesn't create a righteous society. Many of us are involved in under-invoicing. All of us, I will say guarantee, any mufti comes here, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, a mu'min, a Muslim, he will do all the disobedience. But one thing will not happen from him, lying, he will never lie. He will never lie. A mu'min or Muslim, Allah vidamana pavangalim shayvan, ana oru pavata shayamatan, poishullamatan. He will never lie. My respected brothers, how many of us are lying? How many of us are lying? How many of us are fooling others in our business? Any mufti can come and guarantee and stand with me. Under invoicing is haram. Maintaining two accounts is haram. Cheating the government is haram. Bribery is haram. And increasing the market and just creating demand is haram. It's haram. A penny you have created with the artificial demand. It's haram. Even can be Islamic bank does that. Anybody does that, it's haram. A penny which is earned from that, it goes into the body, it's haram. But now you ask question, then how do we do business? How do we do business? My respected brothers and elders in Islam, think we can. Changes can take place. First it has to come here. First it has to come here. I want to change. The intention of business is not making money. Intention of business is doing a service and fulfilling my need. Remember that. Intention of business is not making money. Intention of business is giving a service and helping us. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, time is running out. But I'm saying that, think all these things. I spoke many areas, many angles, many things. Take one message home. Take one message home. Walk out of the masjid, say that, I'm going to implement this. We all get together, our 30% Muslim business community people can make a change in our business culture in our country. We can do a change. Insha'Allah, insha'Allah. By the help of Allah, we will have a righteous society. We will have a righteous society. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, meaning I am doing another appeal. I have been given the in charge of Hambansara district. I am given the in charge of Hambansara district for all the Islamic affairs. Through Jamiat Ulama and through the members. In our masjid, in our area, we have 17 Jummah masjid and 13 taqiyas, 13 small masjid. We have approximately 18,000 waters. 18,000 waters right around the Hambansara district. A small Muslim community scattered right around. 8 Muslim schools is available. Infrastructure is poor. Our many Muslim youngsters are going out of Islam. Our many Muslim young girls getting married out of Islam. So there are so many community problems. In large I spoke, generally we have a problem. As I am responsible for Hambansara district, I am saying we are facing this problem. The business community, the people who Allah has given you, the ability, wealth, intellectual, resource people, please give us a hand. Please give us a hand. Government is concentrating to develop and make a wonder of Asia. Hambantur have been invested with lots of money, international grounds, international community centers, everything, but our Muslim community has been deprived. Muslim community's rights have been taken. But I'm not telling to go and fight against the government. If we are okay, Allah is with us. We can help ourselves. We can help ourselves. We can help each other. And we can be united. We can achieve. In that manner, my respected brothers, the Jummah Masjid, which I am belongs to in Hambantota, that Jummah Masjid in need of construction is not enough. In Jummah, they pray outside in sun. It's not enough. A very small masjid, old structure. So our brothers have come outside the masjid with the permission of our trustees in this masjid. They are there for collection in order to do the construction of the masjid. You think that you're not doing a favor for me and you're not doing a favor for the people of Hambantota. We're doing favor for Islam and you are favoring yourself by giving that sadaqah. By giving that sadaqah in order to build the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever builds a masjid, Allah will build him a palace in Jannah. Likewise, this masjid is also in need for the renovation. I said it has to become a center. It has to become a center in Colombo. It has to become the masjid. Need for renovation and construction. So you give your contribution for sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and all our youngsters from disobedience. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.